Boy, let me tell you, ladies, God bless you. We appreciate the good meal.
Yeah, good.
Hey, this bunch can eat.
Yeah.
I can too since I got rid of this gallbladder. Turn me down, son. Hey, I appreciate these men with all my heart. We come down here thinking we didn't know how long or what it's going to take us to get it done. So they done got all of this roof on and all of it trimmed out. They done moved all of those vents up. All that side is totally done. Totally done.
Woo!
I thought Brother Junior... I want to tell you what kind of bunch I run around with. I got to tell you this. Now, you got to get your visual. Brother Glenn, that's Brother Glenn Jones, that guy over here, that guy right there. He's laying up there, Brother Noble. He went and got him a baby bed mattress out of one of the rooms. A baby bed mattress. Well, look how tall he is. See there? Now, you got a picture about 3 foot of it sticking over that mattress. Brother Junior comes in, and so I told Brother Bob, and I'll get to this in just a minute about this paint. So anyway, Glenn's laying over there, and he's got his back turned to all of us, and I told Brother Bob, I said, well, we need to find out if it's going to rain tomorrow or whatever it's going to do. Well, Brother Glenn's laying over there, and he's doing this, and he's talked to his wife, and he's happy and contented. So Brother Junior comes in. Brother Bob's got the television on. We're trying to find the news. So Brother Smith gets the remote and turns that thing up as loud as you can. It'll deafen you. Brother Glenn says, turns over and he said, are y'all deaf? And Junior said, what? They're a crazy bunch. You don't never know what they're going to do. But anyway, this part over here is needing being painted. And so we got all the screws out and got it re-screwed in and got all of that fixed. And anyway, you can only put that on when it's like 50 degrees or above. The paint, 50 degrees above. And I guess probably two-thirds of it's done. I don't really know. But anyway, I think it's supposed to rain tomorrow. Is that right? Well, now, we don't have no control of that. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. 50, that ain't even a sprinkle. But anyway, I'm just telling you, I appreciate these men. God knows I do. Open your Bible, please. Brother Lawrence is sick. He's sick of my preaching. No, Brother Lawrence has got this real problem. It's called Sharon. Y'all will get that in a minute. Hey, open your Bible and turn with me, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes. I promise you, I'll try my best not to preach very long. How many of you remember in years gone by, you used to hear this statement? Now listen to this. About the time you learn how to live, finish it up.
It's time to die.
I've heard that all my life. I've heard that all of my life. And did you know there's a lot of truth in that? Now when you really think about it, when you really get it fixed in your mind about life, just about the time you learn how to get a hold of life and the problems of life, it's time to check out of here. See, some of y'all nod your head, but you wouldn't say nothing. But that is the truth.
Yeah, it is.
My grandpa used to tell me that. Now, here's what I want you to do. Open your Bible to the Ecclesiastes, please, chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And I appreciate you coming on to give a notice like this and just coming. We was up there talking. Can anybody turn this fan off for me? How do you do that, Brother Larry? Or... let's pray while we got him on his knees. Lord, please help him. He ain't worth killing. Thank you, brother. Whose idea was that to put a fan on your backside? I ain't touching that. We was up there talking. They've worked like crazy. We're all like silly. We work so hard. But don't you listen to this. We was up there in the room talking about how church problems. Now, in all these years, I've seen and experienced some problems, but I want you to listen to this. This is a preacher and his song leader. And Brother Larry, I'm not necessarily talking about you. I'm talking about Brother Bradley. I know he leads the same. Said church feuds are not uncommon, but especially among cliques. But when the pastor and the song leader has problems, you have problems. So the preacher preached on commitment and how we ought to dedicate our lives to the service of God. The song leader got up and said, they said, we're going to sing, I Shall Not Be Moved. So the next Sunday, the preacher got up and preached on how we should gladly give to the work of the Lord. Song leader got up and sang, Jesus Paid It All. The next week, the preacher preached on gossiping, how we ought to watch our tongue. So the song leader got up and said, I love to tell the story. So the preacher became disgusted over the whole situation. So the next Sunday he told the congregation, he said, I am considering resigning. Song leader got up and led him in a song, Oh, Why Not Tonight? So the next Sunday the preacher resigned. He told the church, Jesus led him away. Song leader got up, led him in a song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Spit the whole church. Don, behave yourself. Ephesians, please, chapter 2. Stay with me, please, in chapter 1. Now, I want everybody to listen to me for a moment. Now, when you read Ecclesiastes, it's got 12 chapters. You can read it in just, well, I don't know if you're a proficient reader, you can read it, I'd say, easily in 10, 15 minutes. But so many people, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, they miss the whole point of it. Now Solomon was a saved man. Now, read with me, please, and look in verse 1, everybody. I said in my heart, Solomon said, Go to now, I'll prove thee with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is vanity. I said, Of laughter, it's mad, and of myrrh, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself to wine. Now, before y'all get all too bent out of shape, and I've had all this stuff wrote me, cussed out, blessed out, and everything else in the world, they tried to say, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, but it was not fermented drink. In fact, if you read your Bible, there are five different kinds of wine in the Word of God. And one of them says, as the new wine is found in the cluster. Right. Be good, Melvin. He says, I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So you see, God permitted something in the life of Solomon for minding your learning. Now let's look in verses 4. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I've been dealing with this man and his wife, and they got a 16-year-old boy. Well, monetarily, I don't know what the man's worth, and I don't really care.
That's good.
But in fact, I'm sort of fed up to hear with the whole situation. I'm just sort of fed up with it. If I get home, I have to deal with this problem. Now, I'm going to say this, and I want you to listen to me. Larry and I may be friends, and Brother Jay and I be friends, and we may have problems, but we can't resolve our problems until we get self off the throne of our life. If a man and wife is having problems, now look at me, guys. If a man and wife is having problems, or a father and his son, or a daughter, or whatever, you cannot resolve that problem until self gets off the throne of your life. So I'm not so sure we ought not just tell people, until you want to get right with God, I'm quit trying to deal with you. I'm not so sure we ought not do that. There's something that has to bring us to the point to where we really want help, and then God can help us. But as long as you're in denial, as long as you're saying, I don't really care what God thinks, you can't resolve a problem. They got money. Man, they got a house. You have never seen so much crown molding in a house in your life. They're turning their son loose. He's 16 years old. Whether y'all like this or not, a 16-year-old boy or a 16-year-old young girl, bless your heart, young ladies, I appreciate you here. But I'm saying they're not old enough to make adult decisions. So we need to quit letting them make their decisions. But let me tell you where I got in trouble. My saran wrap is itching. Let me tell you where I got in trouble. The 16-year-old boy goes to church every time. The doors is open. And the mother and the daddy, they're letting that boy get involved in rock music and rock playing and guitar playing and all this stuff, dress in black. One day they'll regret it. One day they'll regret it. So I'm not so sure that I ought not just put my foot down and say, until both of you want to get right with God, I'm not dealing with this problem anymore. I think I've done went my extra mile. I think I have. Boy, y'all looking pitiful at me. Now, don't go out here, Brother Bradley, and say that I don't care about people. I care about people, Brother Noble. I'll do anything to help people. But I'm saying there comes a time that we ought to say, until you are willing to get right with the Lord, then you can call me and I'll be glad to come to help you. Just a little better. Now look in your Bible. Now watch what. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water, and the water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, stockpile the stuff. Now watch. Then he says, and the peculiar treasure of kings and provinces, I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men, all kinds of musical instruments and that of all sorts. Verse 9 says, I was great. How many of y'all see this? I was great. Now watch it. Increased more than all that was before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained within me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart from joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of my labor. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he is describing everything that he wanted, he got. Right. Yeah. Now I know Brother Lawrence Richardson, and I know this church. Now I know y'all believe, if I made you and put your foot to the fire, and I said, do you believe the Bible is God breathed? Every one of you would raise your hand. Yeah. If I said, do you believe the Bible is God breathed? You'd raise your hand. All right. When you get into the Song of Solomon and you get into the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find that Solomon, here's what he's talking. I got to show you this. Would somebody in here read chapter 2 for me and read verse 17 and read it real loud to me? Read it to me. Come on. What? Let's stop right there. Whoop, 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 whoop. What does it say, Brother Larry?
Therefore, I hated life.
Read chapter 2. This man, Miss Lisa, had everything of his beck and fingertips. All right, if I ask you, y'all believe the Bible? Oh, yeah. Yes, sir, I believe the Bible. 39 books of the old, Miss Wanda, 27 of the new, 31,102 verses of the Bible. That's the only time you'll ever find the word, therefore, I hated life. Put it down for me. Put it down there for me. Now let's stop a minute. Let's stop a minute. Sister Yandel, look at me. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, what did he specifically tell them to do to the Garden of Eden? What?
Dress it.
Hello. What again? Say it again.
Dress it.
And then another word. What? Dress it and keep it. Now you need to get that. You need to get that down. So Adam and Eve was put in a perfect environment, and Adam and Eve was both told to dress and keep the garden. Right? One, he gave them a heart that he might know God. He gave them a will that they might obey God. Now, let's talk a minute. Have you ever in your lifetime, Brother Earl, have you ever seen a cow with a desire to worship God? Have you, brother Ronald? Have y'all ever seen any kind of an animal have a desire to worship? I've never. Let's stop a minute and think about this. Have you ever seen an animal with a wristwatch? Why are we so consumed with time? But why are we so consumed with it? If I have any sense and I love history, boy, I wanted to preach on Nathan Hale. I wanted to preach on Nathaniel Hale. You know, he was a spy for the American Revolution. And he admitted that he was a spy to the British. He's going to hang him the next day, and I'll just give you this for y'all to just think about it. They put the rope around his neck, and they're fixing to hang him. They asked him, do you have anything you wanted to say? He said, I regret that I have only one life to give for my country. That's another message. Y'all don't think about that when you go home. How come that innately within me, when the American settlers, colonists got here, they had the red man here. Would y'all say amen?
Yeah.
They had the American red man here. Or what we call native red men. Now, A. Noble, what everybody knows that they did not have a missionary till the colonists came. As such, where did they know there was a happy hunting ground? How come they to have a desire to worship? Well, now don't get me started on this stuff. We can stay here all night. I do remember when God was building building the Tower of Babel, and God scattered them upon the face of the earth. So it's innately within man to do what? To want to worship God. It's only within us, right? Now watch this. God made man. He breathed in the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. He made Eve, took a rib from man, made a woman. And Adam said, whoopee. But they were still in the garden to dress the garden and to keep the garden. So man needs to have the proper purpose. Right? That's going to get good if y'all stay with me. Let's go a little farther. Verse 17, as Brother Larry read, therefore I hated life. You would think tonight he would not have hated life. Write this on Friday if you Bible. Number one, did you know he tried the luxury of the world? That's in chapter 2 and verse 10. Have you ever noticed this? The more you get of this world, the more complicated your life becomes. Y'all ever noticed that? You get one car, then you got two cars, more upkeep, more taxes to pay. Man asked me about rental houses. You couldn't put a gun to my head and get me to have a rental house. Shut up, Melvin. Go a little farther. But now watch it. He tried the luxury of the world, chapter 2, verse 10. If you look in your Bible, verse 17 and 18 in that chapter, he tried the learning of the world. Look if you wouldn't your Bible. Now watch this. Back up. Verse 3 says, he says, I sought in my heart to give myself to wine. So he tried the luxury of the world. He tried the learning of the world. He tried the liquor of the world. You read a little farther in those chapters, you'll find he was a very lustful man. Go to chapter 12 with me right quick, hurry. Why I got y'all's attention. Boy, y'all are hanging on every word. Look in chapter 12 just for a moment. Now look in verse 13. Ready? If I read my Bible, Brother Jay, it says, chapter 2, verse 17, Solomon says, therefore I hated, say it, life. I hated life. Well, I wanted to know why did he say that. Look in chapter 12, look in verse 13, and we're talking about time to learn how to live, it's time to die. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's it say to do, Miss Sharon? Fear God. Well, that's the one thing in our day and time we don't have. There's no fear of God. If there was a reverent fear of God, they wouldn't be all this, sin would not be as rampant as it's running. If I really had a reverential fear toward God and Larry's saved and I'm saved, I sure wouldn't be doing what people are involved in churches in this day and time, trying to kill him or vice versa. Amen, sister. If there's a reverential fear of God in their heart, I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven. Say amen right there. That is, if you know you're saved. But inside of you, the Holy Ghost lives there. How can people rail on each other, try to kill each other, and the Spirit of God not deal with them? You know why? Because there's no fear of God. Split churches up, split homes up. Now it gets a little better. Therefore, let us hear the conclusion. Don't fear God, keep His commandment. Now say it back to me, Brother Noble. For this is what? What? Say it again. This is the whole duty of man. Well, chapter 2 said, therefore I hated life. So chapter 12, he's winding it down. Now, Brother Bradley, he's saying about the time you learn how to live, it's time to die. That's what he's saying. He says, we're to keep the commandment. We're to fear God, keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Now write this down for me. Y'all ready? So now then, after he's tried the luxury of the world, he's tried the liquor of the world, he's tried the lust of the world, he's tried everything. Now then, he's trusting the Lord. Chapter 12. Now, here's what I want you to write down. Let's go back. If I ask you a question, what are you living for? If I ask you a question, why are you living on this little mud ball planet called Earth? What are you living for? What motivates you? What drives you? What pushes you? Most people would answer this, money, material things, financial security. Here's another good one, fun. I am so sick of that word. There ain't nothing wrong with wholesome fun. But this world lives for it. That pleasure of the world, position of the world, status quo in the world. Look at me for a moment. I'm already important to God.
Right.
I'm so important to God that He wants to get involved in my life. Hey, very few people know my name. And I personally just don't care if they know my name. But God in heaven already knows my name. Did I tell you what I've done? Fixing to. My brother, he took me and my wife over to that Bread of Life. Ain't that, how many you been over there, Junior? How many of y'all been to Bread of Life over there? Raise your hand. Ain't that a good place to eat?
Yeah.
Woo! Y'all need to try that. They're Mennonites. Good place to eat. So my brother took me over there, Brother Jay. We're sitting back there, Brother Noble. Man, I hear all this commotion and boy, you can't believe this. I mean, yeah, I wish you could have seen Governor Ernie Fletcher come in and all of his entourage. I wish y'all could have seen that. I just kept on eating. Boy, everybody jumped up and, man, I mean, just like almost attention. They run in there and my brother even done run in there and had him to sign a dollar bill. You can't believe all what they're signing napkins. He come over to me and he said, there table, I know he's wanting votes. Give me a hand. He said, they tell me you're a Baptist preacher. I said, died in the world, saved, going to heaven. Well, anyway, everybody said, that's Governor Ernie Fletcher, like I didn't know who he was. They asked me, they said, did you get his autograph? I said, he didn't ask me for mine. I'm as important as he is.
Yeah, that's right.
But you see, what I'm trying to get you to see, we're way down here on this level. And we let people intimidate us. Here we are, saved, washed in the blood, names wrote down the Lamb's Book of Life, and we let people intimidate us. I refuse. In the name of God, I'm just as important as they are. Amen. Now, it doesn't lift me up with pride. In fact, it humbles me. Amen. But if I ask you the question, what are you living for? Some people, they live for that. I got a man and his wife, God knows they own three. I have no idea what this would be worth. I got a man and his wife in Rockingham, North Carolina. They have a huge business. They got a daughter that's a knockdown force as this world's concerned, beautiful young lady. Honestly, she's a beautiful young woman. She's, I think, 15, 16 years old. And how much would three condos be worth in Gatlinburg? Shoot me a figure. I'm talking about you can sleep like 10. One of them, I think they said they can sleep 15. What would something, four bedrooms, what would something like that be worth? Half a million? I don't know. Is anybody here at all?
Half a million.
How much?
$1.5 million.
For the three of them. Okay. I want you to listen to this. I don't have no idea how they own that business, but they got this daughter. She's a beautiful young woman. And you can be knocked down gorgeous, have a figure like an eight, or whatever they say, a figure eight, whatever. And you can be mean as the devil. Well, this young girl's like that. She's outwardly got a beauty about her, but son, she has no. She's got a meanness about her, a rebellion streak that wide in her. Her mom and dad, Brother Bradley, God is my witness, sold all three of their condos, sold everything they had, went to California, and they gave $90,000 for a portfolio for that young girl. to do nothing but to make it big in Hollywood. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling y'all the truth. Can you believe the brother of that man had to go out there? They were dead broke after a year and a half. Dead broke. He even had to give them money to come back home on. What do you call those producers and agents? Eat them alive. Strung them alive. You're going to make it big. Everything they had, literally everything they had, caved in. I went to visit. The mother is eat up with depression. Doctors, psychiatrists, she's been to all kinds of analysis, all kinds of... Go out here and say that I don't care about that. You ought to get medical professional help. But, they're on the very bottom. They're living with their brother-in-law. They went through every nickel they had to get that girl to make it big in Hollywood. Ain't that pitiful?
Oh, yes.
To idolize somebody like Britney Spears. Ain't that the wrong idol? Say amen. And then to think that parents would cave into that and let them do that. Okay, it gets a little better. I want to show you what makes you desire to keep on living on this earth. What makes you get up of a morning? Well, Solomon said, therefore I hated life. The third thing, write this down. Life sometimes can be dull. Rarely is it ever dull for me. Not when you're around that much. Hey, been threatening to throw me off the roof and push me off the roof. And watch it. It was said today, and I blame Noble, but Noble said he didn't do it, that the saran wrap is in the wrong place. I don't know if Noble said that or not. I don't think he'd say that about me. Life is dull. Never for me. Sometimes it's a drab thing for a lot of people. Man, I enjoy living.
Yeah.
Man, I enjoy knowing I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
Gets a little better. Now watch this. And sometimes I do agree that people are so delusional. What I mean by that, especially in the political arena. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of people are delusional about preachers. They don't know who's real. They don't know what the difference between a fake and a real. They're delusional with churches. That's a God's honest truth. Well, we see somebody like that guy out there in Texas. What's his name? What is that guy's name? He's got the football arena. What's his name? Who? Come on. Is that his name? Okay, I'm saying, now see what people do. They equate that with success. They do. And the books that he writes, and people jump on that bandstand. And now, if you really truly believe that man's a preacher, I'll sell you some oceanfront property in Madisonville. If y'all really believe he's a God-called preacher, I don't mind telling you that. Okay, now let's get a little further. Sometimes it's disappointing. Sometimes it's disillusioned. Now, will y'all agree with me? Will you agree with me that we need a personal purpose in life?
Yes.
Y'all agree with that? Okay, Solomon said, therefore, I hated life. God has a plan for each of our lives. Amen. Well, I do believe this. When you don't have no purpose, that brings what I call confusion. And boy, people are so confused. This confused as a termite in a yo-yo. So then I thought about this, that God has a personal plan for each. And you'll find our day and time. I went over today and I put the hug on Jay. I put the hug on him. I said, it's been so long since he had a hug. I love old Jay Clark. But you know what? Some people don't never feel important. Some people don't ever feel important. They don't feel like nobody cares. Nobody understands me. Nobody don't care whether I live or die. That's a God's honest truth. I see so much of that. What are you trying to get me to see, brother system? I'm saying, I know y'all don't believe this. Did you know I used to be a very highly introvert? I got to get that stuff you told me to get. It's killing me. Brother Noble, I used to be so introverted. That's like when Junior sings that song about John 3:16. Meeting old Jack Daniels. I used to be a drunk. I've been saved for 45 years of my life. I've never touched a drop of liquor. But can you believe if I let myself, I could taste Seagram 7s? if I let myself. I don't drink liquor, but I used to. I used to get drunk and stay drunk. And I mean, I'd get drunk Friday night, Saturday night, try to sober up on Sunday, go to work on Monday, go right back and do the same thing again. I was so introverted. I had so much hate. I had so much bitterness in my life. I didn't have no purpose in life. I didn't have no purpose. Shoot. If you could see all what's been messed up in my life. But I'm saying, a little boy can get so bitter at the angry at the world as to what their parents do. Amen, sister. Well, when my dad left my mom, Lord, help us. You talk about a young boy filled with hate and bitterness and anger. I didn't have no self-esteem. That's the reason why I drank. That's the reason why I smoked. That's the reason why I done all the stuff that I done. Living in old bars and hell holes. Living in pool rooms. I didn't know what purpose was in life. I didn't know what I was going to, didn't know what I was going to do. So I'm saying, man needs what I call a personal purpose. And if you don't have that, you're going to have confusion, boredom, laziness, fear, constant change, all these things. Number two, write it down. We need a proper purpose. Boy, that's the reason why. I'm not just patting these guys on the back. I don't mean to just put them up on a pedestal. They could be somewhere else other than down here. That's pitiful. They didn't have to come to Madisonville, Kentucky. So what I'm saying is, if you got the proper kind of purpose in life, it's just men giving back to the Lord because the Lord's been so good to them. Well, okay, I'm talking about a proper kind of purpose. All right, turn over to, you don't have to turn over, but let me quote the verse. Paul said, work him with your hands to give to him that needeth. That's what the book says. Work him with your hands to give to him that needeth. We quote that verse, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Man, I love to help people. I do. I get a bigger blessing out of it than they do. Yeah. Amen. But I'm saying that proper purpose. It's not pleasuring. We get together and we have a... Y'all think this is bad. Y'all see us, there's about 20 of us and all week long. We have a ball. I do anyway. But the reason why I bring that up is this. It's not position in life or pleasure that's going to fulfill you. When you find that proper purpose in life, whatever that, some watereth, some soweth, and God gets in. I can be a good water boy. But our day and time, if people don't get any kind of recognition out of it, hey, look at me. See, I believe with all my heart. Sister, you know, that's like you work over as a secretary. That's like Miss Betty. Played that organ for years and years and years. What I'm saying is what you do, you ought to do it because you love God and no other reason. All right, if you do that and you're doing it, whatever that consists of, and you know that's what God wants you to do, if it's sitting on that pew, just be an encouragement. His mama, Brother Travis's mom, boy, she is a sweet lady. She was one of them people, when I first met them years ago, son, you didn't get in that church. And son, here she'd come. Boy, she made you feel, did you ever meet people that made you feel important? Yes. Have you ever met people, where you just walk in a room and it just seemed like the whole room just lights up? Yes. You ever meet people like that? That's it. That's like his mom. She's what I call the official greeter. They want friends, but people don't want to be friendly. Here's what annoys me, Brother Noble. Here's this annoys me. You go into a church and they'll say, who is that? And they look at you like you're a spy. Look at, who is that? Instead of them getting up and going over and saying, boy, it's good to have you. My name is Elvin Sisson.
My name is Jake
Clark. Hey, good to meet you, Brother Jay. What's wrong with that? Everybody comes in and plops down on that 18 or 24 or 36 area y'all sit on. Plop. Amen. And it's sort of hollowed out where y'all sit there. So just won't get up. You know I'm telling you the truth. And watch this. This annoys me. Brother Larry says, come to the choir. Ain't that pitiful? No joy. I'm not. Hey, guys, God bless you for being here tonight. Bless your heart. Most young people had rather go to Walmart or go to Wendy's or go wherever rather than come to the house of God. Could it be that they see so much drudgery out of our lives? No joy, no excitement, no enthusiasm. Amen. But I tell you what, now we're going to go, we're going to watch UK. We got tickets to go watch UK. Watch. I go into churches, Brother Noah, this tears my, we bleed blue. Ain't that pitiful? And go in and you can tell when Kentucky's lost. Ain't that pitiful?
Yeah.
I go to North Carolina and it's that way. God help us. Boy, y'all are looking pitiful. But you know I'm telling you the truth. If it's something to energize the flesh, people are enthused about it, excited about it. So we need not only a personal purpose, that is to glorify God, we need what I call a proper purpose, and watch this, given to a cause. If I ask you people, if I ask you, Miss Betty, if I ask you who was the biggest lobbyist in Washington, D.C., what would y'all say? Who would y'all think it is? A lobbyist is one that they got offices to lobby the Congress or the Senate or the House to get a certain thing done. Would y'all like to know who they are? Would you? It's called homosexuals. They got a cause. Did you know the average homosexual makes over $70,000 a year? But listen to this. They give to that cause. Amen, Brother Sisson. Man, you know the reason why? They got an agenda. They got a cause. They got a purpose. It's about time we get a cause and a purpose. Amen. My old grandmother, God bless her heart. Brother Brad, don't you watch this. See, some of y'all can't relate to this. What time is it? Still 7 o'clock. Hallelujah. My grandmother used to make little print dresses out of flour sacks. Me and her go to church, and my grandmother, I can smell my grandmother. I can, honestly, I can. I'm soon be 64 years old. Can you believe I can literally, well, you say it's psychological, but I can see my grandmother right now. We get to the creek, Brother Noble. She didn't have no pantyhose. She didn't have no hose. We get to the creek, and she'd reach down and slip her shoes off. And we'd cross that creek, get to the other side, she'd put her shoes back on. And we go to church. Look at y'all's faces. And they didn't have a lot of this world's goods. They worked and canned and split wood and burnt wood. But I made a big old garden. Amen, sister. And they wasn't as depressed as we are. Ask that guy. Ask Brother Junior. How old's that cabin? How old's your cabin?
150.
He has got this cabin. He tore it all down, brought it and put it in his front yard and put it back up. But the history of the cabin is this. It's what, 16 by what, Junior? 16 foot by 21. That ain't a lot of living space. Raise how many kids? 8 of them?
10
kids? Guess how they slept? Would y'all like to know? Ask him. They had a feather bed. And they put it on the floor and put all the kids' feet and put them around the circle. Asked him. Oh, Lord, Brother Sisson, they surely had 4 bedrooms. Asked him. You can say whatever you want to say, but they produced a far better generation than what we're producing. Amen. You asked him about that old cabin, nice old cabin. But I mean 16 by 21, and raised 10 kids, amen. And see, used to mothers, they were homemakers, and they had a purpose. Guess what that was? To train, they thought children was a gift of God. I'll show you this, now watch it. Not money, not materialism. So if you don't have the personal purpose in life, it brings confusion. All right, if you don't have the proper kind of purpose, guess what you do? That brings conflict in your life. Now we're talking about Savior. The third thing, now watch this. that I believe this with all my heart, every one of us ought to pursue a purpose. My wife says, you're the most determined human I've ever seen in my life. That's a compliment. I can handle it.
Yeah.
The other day she asked me, she said, how come we don't fight after 45 years? I said, you want to? You can get that in a minute, Larry. But I'm saying, watch this. She's talking about me being determined. Don't y'all believe we ought to? Would you give a nickel for somebody that didn't have a little bit of spizz a ring to them, or purpose in their life, or determination in their life? How about bullheadedness? Anybody here want to say you ain't bullheaded? How about stubborn? Don't go there, Don. I'll ask Miss Wanda, she'll tell me the truth. Somebody says, well, that's the most stubbornest man I've ever seen, or stubbornest person. Now, I do agree that there's a certain amount of stubbornness that will give us determination. Determination like to live under the umbrella of hearing the words, well done. Determined. Jesus was determined. He set his face towards Jerusalem. He had one purpose to come into this world, and that was go to the cross and die. Well, you say, well, that was Jesus. Well, the Bible says we're to have the mind of Christ. Y'all ever seen two old pit bulldogs fight? Anybody outside me? Y'all ever seen two old pit bulldogs fight? Anybody here at all? Pit bulldogs will go for the throat every time. And once they get whichever one of them, usually it's the bigger dog. If he gets right here, or the littler dog gets right here, you can't beat him off that dog. He will not turn loose. If he gets right here, you can beat him all you want to. You can do everything you want to, but that dog will not turn loose till that other dog's life is gone. You know why? He's determined, son. It's a survival thing. He's going to survive. He's not going to give in. See, I believe we ought to get that determined. We ought to get so determined that if Larry quits on God, why should I quit? If Brother Brandon says, I ain't leading this thing anymore, I ain't doing nothing anymore, why should I quit? But see, that's what people do. And they're so thin-skinned. Lord, help us. You look at them, you're mad. Well, it's like years gone by. George Whitfield had notoriety for wearing, he wore this tie, string tie. Just a string tie. He's standing back at the door. He got done preaching. This woman said, sir, your tie is an offense to me. George Whitfield said, is anybody here got a pair of scissors? They brought him the scissors. He handed them to the woman. He said, make it non-offensive. She trimmed his tie, straightened it up. He said, is it correct? She said, yes. He said, now you stick your tongue out. Your tongue's an offense to me. Stop a lot of this problem. Hey, man. But people are so thin-skinned. Can't take nothing. There'd be 200 people, and if you're looking at this, he's looking right at me. Success, I believe, isn't bestowed. It has to be obtained. God knows I want to hear the words. I want to hear Jesus say, Mel, if nobody else is satisfied with you, I am. I live. I want my life to count for God.
Yes, sir.
I don't want my children to file past my coffin and say, my daddy used to do this. My daddy used to do that. I want more than life in my body to want to hear Jesus say, Mel, well done. That's what pushes me. That's what drives me. Only my love for God will make me do what I do every day, every week of my life. Sometimes I get the most awfulest letters in the mail. And there are some people, brother, I'm telling you the God's honest truth. I'm not a lot of heroes in a lot of people's eyes. Oh, there's a lot of people, boy, they can't stand truth. Paul said, if I become your enemy because I told you the truth. There's people hate the ground I walk on. Don't you think that hurts me? I got members of my own family. Never darken my doors. You know the reason why? It's because of our stand, because we're Bible believers. And because when you walk into my home, you're going to see on the left-hand side a framed Ten Commandments. I got nieces and nephews that that's an offense to. I ain't taking it down. If they get offended coming to my home because that I don't cuss and because I won't let them bring their beer and whiskey, then they can stay at home. The boy I live, God knows. Paul, Ecclesiastes says, therefore I hated life. Did y'all see that? Chapter 2, verse 17. So he had obtained all this stuff, but it hadn't fulfilled the longings in his heart. But you get to chapter 12, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. It's man's whole duty to fear God, keep his commandments. Ain't that a blessing? So you see, success has to be obtained. Now I know in one sense we've already got success. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 says, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. So we've already got the victory. In one sense, amen, saved, going to heaven, done got that victory. But I'm saying tonight, listen to me, therefore I hated life. What if you obtained great success in this world? Can I ask you a question? What if, supposition, what if, what if you could sit in the Oval Office? See, I believe the calling of God is higher calling than sitting in the Oval Office. Could I ask you a question? They say it's the most powerful office in the whole known universe to man. Talking about that office. And everybody, there's a whole lot of stuff comes with it. Amen. Can you, now this is what I believe. This is what I believe. I believe George Bush, I believe he's thrilled to death to get out of there. I do. That, have y'all ever noticed before and after of him? Can you imagine the awesome responsibility of sitting in that office? Amen, sister. Every day and being sitting in the office and listening to the whole world and listening to all these problems and knowing that you, to some degree, have the control over lives. That's an awesome responsibility. But did you know, one sense of the word, we have the same thing? We have the awesome responsibility whether people go to heaven or hell. Boy, I enjoy life. I enjoy being saved. The next time in your own personal studies, read the 12 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. In your own personal studies of Scriptures, write down all and what he got involved in. Would y'all do that? Would you just personally do that? And he says, therefore, I hated life. I made a visit this past week. This woman requested that me and my wife come to her home. And she's been divorced for 21 years of her life. She gives to the benevolent fund. She gives to this and she gives to that and she gives to this and she gives to that. You know what she's trying to do? She's trying to buy happiness. She sat there and tears dripped off the end of her chin. I mean, some of the most beautiful antiques I ever laid my eyes on. But boy, she's empty inside. Ain't that a sight? Empty. She's trying to find meaning of life, trying to find a purpose, trying to find Brother Sisson. I showed her Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17. She says, in all of my years, I've never read that. You know what I want to do now? Let's stand, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We need a personal purpose in life, that is to glorify God. Need the proper kind of purpose, and that's given over to a cause. The cause of Christ, boy, hey, did you know most, if you sift down through all this stuff, did you know most everybody around us have got a cause? The Democrats got a cause. The Libertarians have got a cause. The Republicans have got a cause. Say amen.
Yeah.
ACLU's got a cause. Mm-hmm. Women's rights, they got a cause. Amen, Brother Sisson. Everybody's got a cause except us. Hey, I wish Brother Lawrence could have been here tonight, but he ain't feeling good. Bless his heart. Well, I believe we ought to pray each for the other. I believe we ought to be saved. See, I believe there comes a time in our life that I believe you ought to want to be the best you can be for God. Amen. The best you can. Let's bow our heads. Thank you so much for being so attentive. Let's do this now. We just unhook. What do you think about that? God bless your heart. I don't know where you're going to get. I don't know if we're going to get to come tomorrow night or not. I don't have a clue. It's supposed to rain. Am I right? Huh? I don't know. Yeah, Lord's in control of that. Hey, let's just bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. I want to ask you to do this. Pray for Brother Trav's brother, Troy. I know how many of you before we'd be dismissed and you'd say, Brother Sisson, I know of people that need prayer, or maybe you got children that need prayer. Maybe personally you just need somebody to pray for you. Slip your hand up. You're real high before we dismiss. That God would help us. Bless your heart. Now, shake hands with one another just a moment. Brother Mike Cox, you dismiss us. Would you do that, Brother Mike?